The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy
with Nissan
on News Talk.
Just like a rainbow, you know you set me free. And I just can't get enough. And I just can't get enough.
Depeche Mode there. We're going to be hearing more about them from the lovely Tom Dunn. If you have any questions on new music, gigs coming up, any of the rest of it, fire them in and we'll put them to Tom when he arrives. 53106, or you can, of course, email the Hard Shoulder at newstalk.com. It is Anton in for Kieran this evening on the Hard Shoulder. Research from As I Am has indicated that nearly 270 children do not have appropriate places available to them for the new school year. Campaign groups are calling for the rights of these children to be upheld. Miriam Kenny is chairperson of Involve Autism, and she joins me now, and I'm joined as well by a special needs teacher called Audrey. Miriam, let me start with you. The numbers that As I Am is outlining there, that is 270 children with various different additional or varied needs who simply aren't getting the service that they require.
Yeah, I don't think it's any surprise to anybody, to be honest. We are a parent-led support and advocacy group that formed in 2018, and we formed as a response to the lack of autism classes, particularly in Dublin 6 and 6W and the surrounding areas. And we've had two large public meetings with lots of TDs at them, etc. So this is not news, you know. When you're talking about appropriate school placements, you're really talking about each individual child and what their needs are. And no matter who the child is, if they have additional needs, they will need different levels of support. Lots of children are supported well in their local schools, and they can manage, you know, within that mainstream environment if they have the correct supports. And then there is a cohort of children that would need special class placement and or a special school placement. And this is really where the problem lies. And within the school system, I suppose, I'm an educator myself, what happens is at different points in a child's school career, shall we say, they will have different needs. And sometimes the child might be in the mainstream setting in primary school, but in secondary school, they require a second level autism class. Sometimes children who are in autism classes, maybe they might be better served to be in the mainstream class. So it is quite complex, but
is it that the system is insufficiently flexible to be able to adapt to their needs, or there just aren't the resources?
Well, firstly, the resources, I suppose the NCSE will say that the resources are being put into it, like that a quarter of the budget is now towards a special educational needs education and supporting that. What we would have always said is the lack of planning. So if you don't plan for these children, we shouldn't be at every point in May. It seems to be, and it has been historically over the last few years, that there's a number of parents who've had to resort to getting into the press to say that they've no school places. We've advocacy groups, a number of groups across Dublin, across the country now being set up to really kind of put pressure on their own local area to open classes. So you can have lots of schools. Particularly in our own area, when we started off, there was only one school in within 20 different primary schools that had a special class place. So really, it's also about maybe some schools might be a little bit reluctant or fearful of opening these classes, and there could be lots of reasons for that, you know. So we've made some advances in the area, and as a result, some of our children are now in their fantastic local schools in special classes. But it is quite... we've had to do a continued amount of lobbying, etc., for that to happen, and are continuing with that. So it's quite complex, but I do feel that the National Council for Special Education, for us, it's around the planning side of things there. It's around an understanding that these children deserve to be in their local schools, in their local community, that they should have wraparound supports when they are there. And in supporting the students, you're also supporting the schools. The schools need to be supported. So the child, it needs to be child-centric and rights-based model for our children to be included in constitution. They need to have a right to be included in the local.
I want to bring in Audrey as well, because Audrey is a special needs teacher who is dealing with this, obviously, on the front line. Audrey, from your end...
Hi, Anton. Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure. From your end of things, what are you seeing, and how chaotic or efficient is the system?
I think, and I'm sure many listening will agree with me, the system is completely inefficient. I teach a special class in a mainstream school. It's a ASD class that I teach. And this year I have had an autism.
I'm sorry, just start, that's autism spectrum disorder, is that correct?
Yes, autism spectrum disorder. And there is nobody for me to call for support for any of my students. I have no key, you know, worker for each of them. Many of them in my class, I have six, are still on waiting lists. They aren't being seen for SLT, which is speech therapy, occupational therapy, psychological reviews or anything like that. And I think it's important to note here as well, this issue is not just affecting children with autism, it's affecting children with intellectual disabilities across the country. I myself have a daughter with Down syndrome, and her peers, I was actually in touch with over 100 parents today with school-going children with Down syndrome, and over 90% of those children are not receiving any therapies at all from services. So not only are the schools not getting the support to help the children while in school, but outside school, the children aren't getting the support they need either.
And go back to your experience in the classroom. The lack of resources that you describe, can you give us a couple of examples of the result of that? What is it that you would like to be able to provide or that the children need that they don't get?
I would like to be able, like for example, I'd like to be able to provide targeted OT exercises, for want of a better word, to do with some of my students, where I could, you know, okay, so they might have very poor fine motor skill and are unable to write. So I can know that I'm doing the correct exercise that needs to be done for that child, for that skill. Or with a child that's nonverbal and has no way of communicating with, that I would be shown by their speech therapist what areas to work on to help them communicate either through love or through, you know, a targeted approach that suits that child. You know, I'm kind of relying on my experience as a teacher, but also as somebody with personal experience of special needs and what I've learned over the years, and bringing that into the classroom. You know, I'm a little bit older than a lot of teachers, so I probably have some life skills, but that's not good enough. And our children are being failed left, right and centre. It's just a disgrace.
Miriam, to go back to you, if we take what Audrey is describing from her personal experience of one classroom and the deficits that are created by virtue of not having the supports that are required, if we extrapolate that up to the 270 plus possibly children who don't have the appropriate places, what's the implications for their development? Because in so many of the needs that they will have, we are told that the best thing that you can do is intervene as early as is possible.
So I'm also an educator myself in a second level, and I'm also a mum of an autistic child, just to say that. So if you, for a child to be able to access the curriculum, they need to have the support. And from very early on, if a parent has got, a child has got a diagnosis very early on, the earlier they have the support, the better, the more able they will be to be in maybe the mainstream setting, if that's suitable for them, or in a special class. So I would always say this, that these children are going to become adults and they need to have access to education, and an appropriate education and an excellent education, so that they have the skills that they and reach their full potential, so that their potential, whatever that is for that child, or, you know, every child is different, is reached. And that is really what we want here, is for these children to be acknowledged and for these children to be supported right through from very early on. And part of that, we need a joint up system here. It cannot be in a siloed that the education system is one and the health is the other. Both of them are party to these children being supported. And I'll give you an example. We've had three special schools have been set up recently in the last 3 years in response to the need, a lack of planning of the NCSE again. And all of these schools have been opened. And unfortunately, there are no wraparound supports for those children. And really, it's not acceptable, and it's not okay to think that we've done a great job, we've given these children placements, sure, that'll do. It won't do. It will not do at all. And I just feel that at this stage, with crisis after crisis, we are every year we're saying the same things, and I just don't understand why there isn't a root and branch now, this review of both of those systems, and saying, look, we have to do something. We are in the 21st century. We feel the NCSE does not have a proper data base that they can look at, that they can review, and they can plan for these children. And we know what's happened within the HSE and the new progressing disabilities
model is not working either. So they really need to kind of go back and really say, look, what are we going to do here? So every year there seems to be a crisis. We shouldn't be at this stage because these children are here and there's going to be more children next year.
Okay, well, if anybody has a view, if you have a view on this, 53106 at a cost of 30 cents. Miriam Kenny, thank you very much. That's Miriam Kenny, who's chairperson of Involve Autism, and before her, special needs teacher Audrey. And like I say, 53106 if you want to text the show, and texts continue to come in relation to the issue of Dublin Airport and how aggrieved and annoyed people are by the queues and also by the general standards across the airport. Coming up, bit of potentially bad news for a lot of mortgage holders, because if you have a tracker or if you have a variable rate mortgage, it looks like you're staring down the barrel of a mortgage increase.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy
with Nissan.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.